You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Peace we come to pray and to seek the Lord today for salvation from His hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray.
and your glory, Lord. Send your power, Lord. Revival to every church whose pastor is standing in this place tonight. Give them their city, Lord. Give them their city, Lord. Give them their city, Lord. Give us the nations, Lord. Give us the nations, Lord.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Talk Live Prayer. Here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm Dr. Shirley Candace, General Manager of WSCIRO and Faith Talks Live Prayer here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to say a big God bless you to all my Facebook family and friends and YouTube family. We just did a special prophetic alert on YouTube and Vimeo, and it was on Standing with Israel, and we wanted to tell Irene what we're going to do. You know, I was just listening and also observing with my eyes, listening with my ears and observing with my eyes, some of the status updates just coming in the wee hours of the morning, because we had did that video broadcast for WSTKI TV, Seek the Kingdom Internet Christian Television of Greater Boston. We did that on around the wee hours of the morning. I usually say around 3:30. All right, it was 3:43 when I actually started broadcasting. And as I was broadcasting, I have a tweet deck up, and somebody had remarked on the tweet deck that, ironically, even though this storm called Hurricane Irene, has come up the coast, and it has a propensity of causing destruction where there's weak infrastructure. It's not so much a Category 3, although it's coming from that, but even at Category 1 or 2, because of the way it's going to hit, it's going to hit low-lying areas and heavily populated areas towards land, and it's very big. It's like 400 miles long, if you can imagine that. So that's from up here. That's from here to Toronto. It's from from here to Toronto, and I'm talking New England, where I'm from, southern New England. It's about 536 miles one way going up. So could you imagine 400 miles? It's really inconceivable. Okay, but it depends on which part of the hurricane it's going to hit. Which part of the land it's going to hit. So that's why they're very, 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 very cautious, and they're saying take this thing seriously. But ironically, Irene, Irene means peace in a strange way. And the funny thing about this whole thing, when I started seeing that, reports of a hurricane, and also feeling in my spirit something was not right in the atmosphere, but I still had a really strange, awkward sense of peace. It's so ironic that the meaning of Irene's name is peace. And so we're going to talk about, in relation to the activity of heaven as relates to chaos and and God's peace in the middle of the storm and the place of rest that he's called us to and what happens when we're not in rest. All right. We're going to look more at the chaotic activity of heaven, okay, and how it responds to the four prophetic virtues, and the wheel within the wheel, mainly the wheel within the wheel that we talked about from Ezekiel. All right, from Ezekiel 37. I just want to refresh your minds about that. In the previous activity of heaven, we introduced that, and I was very blessed by the CD that Joshua Mills had. He's a worshiper. He's one of Ruth Heppman's mentors. Ruth Heppman was his mentor. That's how it goes. But anyways, he had been graced with going up into the heavenlies and getting fresh revelation, fresh manna from heaven regarding the activity of heaven as it relates to Ezekiel 37 and the wheel within the wheel and the four living creatures. That was one of the things that Ruth Heppman oftentimes wrote about in relation to Revelation glory. So, and the Lord began to instruct me further by His Holy Spirit, the motion of the wheel and how it affects us in the spirit regarding the different circumstances in life, and how that can affect the actual motion of the wheel. Because we wonder, a lot, and many unbelievers, especially, or people hurt by the church, the backslid, have said, well, why should we follow Jesus? After all, look at the evil in the world. If there was a God, why on earth do I need to follow him if he can't even take care of this evil and destruction? And, of course, there's free will. People do choose, all right? But what happens in that choice is remarkable. There's a whole reality thing going on inside of us, within the motion of the will, that actually directs the flow of chaos or the flow of rest. And I believe that's why the will is within the will, the will of our spirit and the Holy Spirit. And they should be going in the same motion, along with the four living creatures, which is prophetic virtues. Okay, we talked in greater detail about the face of the man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle. And they're not only prophetic virtues, but they also mark seasons, okay? Seasons in the spirit, okay? I just had a dream vision the other day, real quick, real fleeting, of the face of the lion staring at me in the face. So when the Lord does that, he shows me that's what the likeness that's within me and within the people of God, what he's going to do in the body of Christ. It's a glimmer into what is about ready to happen. And, especially the whole East Coast as a result of this hurricane, there's going to be people shaking up intercessors to the point where they weren't functioning in a certain way of intercession before the storm. They're going to be awakened in the spirit, and they're going to go into deep groaning, deep intercession, and they're going to, I just heard the roar of the lion, and the utterance of the roar of the lion, at the season of the lion's roar, is coming forward, but it's coming forward in a strange way, like in the chaos called the hurricane, but the name, ironically, it's called Irene. If the Lord doesn't, if we don't heed the Lord's call on coming into his rest, like it says in Psalm 122, we are left to our own fate, and he will move heaven and earth, like I said in the video, to get our attention and to bring us to the place that we need to be, to bring us in that place of rest. A lot of us go into rest kicking and screaming, all right? But we could go into rest, to the Lord's rest, in complete peace and humility. It's out. The choice is ours. The choice is up to each and every one of us individually, and of course, corporately, And just wanted to read Ezekiel 37. Actually, I want to read Ezekiel 1. I've been saying Ezekiel 37. That is actually the Valley of the Dry Bones chapter. I have, in the past, definitely read and studied and chewed on that scripture. But for the purposes of this broadcast, and I am so sorry that I kept saying 37 earlier, but it's actually Ezekiel 1, okay? As the young generation says, my bad. My bad. Anyways, let me just move my... I gotta move... It's very cramped in my studio. I am moving my keyboard. And I'm going to make way for the words. Okay. From Ezekiel 31... I'm so caught up in 30. Ezekiel 1. Verse 1. All right. In the 30th year... This the 30th, in the fourth month, in the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked and I saw a windstorm, this is the account of Ezekiel, coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they have the hands of a man. All four of them have faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had a face of a man, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went, without distraction. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth to and fro from among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheel. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about it. I'm sorry. Yeah, so it's right here. The wheels did not turn about as the four creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around for revelation. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was inside of those wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, the wheels, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose to the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was living inside of the wheel. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings are stretched out towards one another, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings like that, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings in humility. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire and brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was their radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And I am just going to keep it at that, okay? And so, the Holy Spirit is just coming upon me in power and glory. He's coming upon you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the movement of heaven upon moving through your people, for the motion of heaven, for the activity of heaven, for the wheel within the wheel moving and operating to and fro in your people. Lord, you call people to holy obedience. You call people to move when you move, to stand still when you stand still. And I thank you, Jesus, for this teaching from heaven. And Holy Spirit, will you direct the rest of this broadcast? I thank you, Lord, for coming into this space and time to be with me and to be with your people. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So that is Ezekiel's account of the wheel within the wheel and the motion of the wheel and the as it relates to the activity of heaven. And also the flow of worship. I just want to read from something that the Lord had given me it was typed in 2004, but it was actually given to me in, I believe it was 2000. And the flow of the Spirit during heavenly worship is a constant upward and outward flow, outward and upward. It is a spiral flow pointing increasingly to the heavens. That's why the expanse had opened up over the heads of the four living creatures. And that's another way of describing an open heaven. The four living creatures in Ezekiel are the directors of this heavenly worship. They are constantly and consistently leading us towards the throne room of God. They direct the flow of worship. They are our heavenly companions. They are also virtues, prophetic virtues, and they also define the seasons in which we come into, which mark the prophetic movement in the body of Christ, in time and in eternity. They are our friends and always behold the face of the living God, along with the 24 elders, and they yearn to have us behold the face of God as well. That's why there's that, how can I call it, that pressure that builds up in us to go forward with them and to leave the confines of this world and the busyness of living. Yes, they're constantly propelling us into a place of rest. But there is resistance. There have been a lot of fatalities because of this resistance in the body of Christ. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. And then the Lord gave me revelation about the wheel within the wheel. Okay. The four living creatures and the whale within a whale get activated in a constant motion, moving in the same direction and spinning together, as we talked about in Ezekiel 1, in unity and not against each other. The Lord says that as the believer decides to submit their will to the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, in sincere repentance, each time before entering into his presence through praise and the heavenly worship, especially through the new song and dance that comes straight from heaven, there will be a greater flow, a greater release of his glory, and a greater release of his presence. His presence will be established among his people. When this happens, there will be increased healing, increased revelations and signs of wonders from the throne room, and increased miracles, which of course are part of the signs and wonders throughout the earth. Greater breakthrough of the mercy of God in people's lives will be prevalent. This will result in increased revelations again from the throne of heaven. That is that in a nutshell. I go further into this, why the four living creatures. The Lord had revealed to me some time ago while in the Spirit that the reason there are four living creatures is that during the worship phase, the flow that is established is being released and sent up to the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Each of the four living creatures has a specific anointing. They're not only virtues, okay? And I mean, we'll go over what those virtues are in a moment. Again, we'll review that. They have a specific anointing for a specific purpose, for a specific part of the earth, and also they determine the seasons of the Spirit and the prophetic. As the Spirit of praise is being poured out outward and upward towards heaven, the will within the will and our innermost being is becoming activated as we enter into the heavenly worship through the dance and the new song. Like, we're getting synced. You know how, like, we put, you know, for those of you who have iPod touches or iPhones, or now it's Nook, you can sync anything with your laptop or your PC. But when you connect your USB port to your computer, and say that you are downloading iTunes, the first and foremost thing that happens, okay, to your device is that it syncs, it gets updated, it, you know, everything gets recalculated and reoriented and everything else. Well, that's what happens when we worship. We get in sync with the Holy Spirit. We get recalculated. Everything within us gets reoriented, and there's a greater focus to the things of heaven, moving away from the things of the earth, the realm of the earth, to the things of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, let me get back to this. So as the Spirit of praise is being poured out outward and upward towards heaven, the will within the will and our innermost being is becoming activated as we enter into the heavenly worship through the song, the new song, and the dance. The prophetic action of the dance keeps the wheels turning and brings the unity and the flow. It directs us. So that's why lots of times we have to move our feet to get to that place. It's like it's our physical body also coming into sync with things in the Spirit, okay, to help propel that movement in a greater way. So the prophetic action of the dance keeps the wheels turning and brings our unity and greater flow that allows the wheels to unite and ignite, flowing and turning in the same direction in His love. In a sense, we are the wheels within the wheel, being directed by the four living creatures in the flow of the Spirit, as the Spirit moves in unity with mankind in the flow of heavenly worship. And when I say mankind, for the sake of mankind, but through the body of Christ, the body of believers. That's why we are commanded to go to Jerusalem in the Spirit. Some of us go physically, but we can also, you know, go in the Holy Ghost, go out to Jerusalem, you know, to the mountain of the Lord, to worship Him, in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. And let's go into the motion of the wheel. As the body of Christ enters into the phase of worship, okay, because there's the there's, you know, praising the Lord, and there's that place of rest that we come into, that worship, that usher, the ushering of the holy hush, and then there's standing there in the glory in the presence. Those are the three steps that Ruth Heflin, that the Lord had revealed to Ruth Heflin. You should really get that book, Glory Book, and then there's Glory Book, and then there's Revelation Glory, Revival Glory, Harvest Glory, and Unifying Glory. I think so. Did I say Revelation Glory? I think I did. Anyways, as the body of Christ enters into the phase of worship, the wheels begin to spin in the same direction in unity in the book, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel describes the wheel within the wheel as having eyes on the spokes of the wheel. These eyes are constantly receiving revelation from the throne room of God, and this is why we receive greater revelation in the flow of worship. In order for revelation to increase in the flow, there needs to be persistent and constant praise and worship. And we always, you know, it has to always bring us into that deeper place in the glory. That's why it's so important to always gather as a community of believers to worship Him in spirit and truth, so we can continually dig that worship well within the spirit, you know. So this is like, it's so deep. Even when I'm reading this years later, I'm getting blessed by what the Lord downloaded in the spirit to me, because I'm reliving it and relearning it as we are reviewing this. The significance of the faces of the four living creatures, and we're going to review this now, okay, about the prophetic virtue, so you can get a greater understanding as to why the four living creatures, right? I mean, it's so funny when you first read that script, you know, Ezekiel 1, you think, what was Ezekiel on? But there's a place in the glory, there's a place in worship that you get taken away, you get carried away, and it is a trip. I'm telling you, it is a trip. Anyways, the significance of the faces of the four living creatures. By the virtue of our baptism, we are called to be priest, prophet, and king in the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and that's what actually the Catholic Church teaches. For many of those who haven't been blessed with, you know, beginning their life, their Christian life in the church, in the Catholic Church, there's a lot of absolute truth in our faith that many people are receiving that are not necessarily Catholic. Haven't necessarily gone through the church formally, but you, in spirit, the Lord has revealed things to you that the church teaches, that the church has experienced over the years and has written about based on revelation. And it's just coming around. It's so funny what was written is that now just coming forth from the people of God. All right, so let's go back again. By the virtue of our baptism, we are all called to be priests, prophet, and king in the order of Melchizedek. However, many believers are not walking in the fullness of the calling that God has for their lives because they have not appropriated the graces needed for the greater fulfillment of their calling. They have not submitted to the gift of worship, of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And because of this, their spiritual lives remain stunted and stagnated. This is why many believers, when they are walking in the Spirit, unless they are seasoned worshipers, is dedicated, sold out after God's own heart, most of the time they prophesy in part. But you come into a place when you're worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and you're always in that motion, you know, that fluid motion of worship. You prophesy in a greater fullness and in a greater way than you would normally if you just came out without going into worship and getting into the flow of heaven. You prophesy more in the dry realm, the dryness realm. It may not fall the way that you want it to be received because it hadn't been watered by the Spirit, okay? And it's very important to prophesy after worship as the Holy Spirit leads you. And He gives you the word, He gives you the download. You should always wait for that. Downloads, revelation. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, revelation is like 1,000 words. It's like a painting, that the Holy Spirit sets before you. And it's something that we need to trust the Lord more for in this day and age, because we're going to need it as the darkness on the other side tries to, become greater, okay? When I say try, because it's also contingent upon the number of worshipers that take their rightful position. And many of the worshipers are also strategic intercessors, prophetic intercessors, and watchmen of Israel. So there's different degrees and levels.
The time is 12 o'clock p.m.
There's different levels of worship, and there's different degrees and different offices, even in the realm of intercession, because there are people that intercede in the outer court. There are people that intercede in a different way in the inner court, and there's also that standstill intercession in the glory, where you've brought all the cares. You're in that place where you brought all the cares to the Lord. You just stand in His presence, and there's another kind of dialogue. It's more like spirit to spirit communication, spirit to spirit dialogue, and you don't have to say anything. It's like you become infused with the mind of God, the heart of God, and it's an awesome place to be in unity with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wow, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. So, this is why many believers, when they are walking in spirit, unless they are seasoned worshipers after God's own heart, most of the time, prophesying part. And the hope of arriving at a greater understanding of the gift of prophecy versus the office of a prophet, one needs to examine the roles of the symbolic significance behind each of the faces and what they actually represent. Each of the faces of the four living creatures. The last time when we did part one of the activity of heaven, the Lord began to show me, because I have a whiteboard in my office just directly above my laptop. And when you see me in the video, I'm looking up, and I'm looking up at Jesus, because I have also a three-dimensional picture of Jesus right by two tiles of WSTK TV, but I also, and everywhere you go, Jesus is looking at you, and He's under the cross. That's how I have it set up. But directly below that, I have four faces of the four living creatures: the man, the ox, and lion and eagle. I have that on my whiteboard, and so, just so I can remember it, because I always go back to that from time to time. But when you look at the first letter of each word in this order, you get this acronym called MOLE. Now that's a term in chemistry. It means a measurement of a molecule, one mole, one part. But that's not what this means. Okay, that's just the Lord's showing me how to remember this in this order: the man, the face of a man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle. Okay. And so we're going to look at those virtues as it relates to the prophetic movement in the body of Christ and each believer. Okay. All right. And I have a little note here. Before we examine the differences between the gift of prophecy versus the office of the prophet, let us briefly examine the characteristics of the prophetic virtues associated with the four living creatures in and of themselves of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation. Okay, we have the face of the lion, the eagle, the ox, and the man. The face of the lion represents the prophetic virtue that is associated with a great victory, a great roaring. All right, the lion also represents the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus. The lion roars prophetic utterances with courage in anticipation of victory that awaits every believer who calls upon the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, to defend them in their day of battle. It is the will of God that every believer should understand that Jesus shed his blood 2,000 years ago at Calvary, and he destroyed the plans and tactics of the enemy throughout all the ages and time and eternity. The lion, through his utterance, has an authority in its utterance that sends the enemy of our soul running in seven different directions. His prophetic virtue is experienced for the most part in deliverance and in healing ministries, and also when you're brought ready to ascend into the heavenlies, into the higher realms of glory. And there's a corporate entering in, and there's also an individual entering in into those higher realms of glory. But you're moving away from the enemy's camp. You're taking the army with you, the army of worshipers or strategic worshipers who are intercessors, and we're going in. We're going in. Even if two or three agree that this is happening, and as they get revelation, it's happening for the whole body as well. We have a lot of things to roar over, to be excited about, okay? And so I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that revelation. I thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in this season of the lion. Whoa, thank you, Lord. And I'm going to, we're going to go into the face of the eagle right now. But after that, my husband has a... we should say the eagle to the last, okay? I actually did it backwards. I started out with the lion, but we should have started with the man. But you understand about the lion and the season we are in. So let's go to the man, the ox, and the eagle, okay? The man. The face of a man reflects the God-man nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Lord, and the Word, which is the Lord, became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. He is also the Son of God and the Son of Man, and we are made in His image. During worship, we can truly come face to face with the living God and be perfected in His presence as we go from glory to glory. The face of an ox. The ox is very humble in nature and is obedient to the master's voice. The ox is slow-moving in nature and has a stillness, a rest that ushers in the presence of God during this phase of worship when the holy hush comes into the flow of worship. It is at this phase of worship that one comes to a full knowledge, or just about a full knowledge. Okay? But it could last as long as the Lord wants it to last, as long as you're willing to be in that place. That they are about to enter into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place of worship. There is an increase, understanding for the greater things of the Lord, the greater things of the kingdom of God, the will of the Father regarding the kingdom of God and it coming to the earth. There is a greater humility and docility of the inner man towards the things of God that begin to unfold. There is a yielding of the mind and heart of man to the mind and heart of God, and there's a binding of that as well. There's a gentleness and calm assurity that we are indeed children of God, and there's a reception of that in our spirit. There's an understanding that gets released. There's an identity that is formed. Okay, now the ego, face of the ego. The ego is all seeing and all knowing and has the capacity to grab on the cleft of a rock, which is Jesus, and to fly against and over the storms of our lives. This prophetic virtue is the strongest during the phase of worship when revelation starts to flow from the throne of God. And I'm going to bring my husband into the studio. He's going to talk to you briefly what the Lord had revealed to him regarding the ego. And I believe that I also have some prophetic words that I'm going to dust off to from the early 2000s about the ego and it relating to the body of Christ. And then we're going to talk more about the motion of the wheel, within the wheel, because we have to be accountable for what the Lord is showing us and how He wants us to act in relation to the Holy Spirit. I have my husband, Jeff Candace, here, Dr. Jeff, here, and he's going to share with you his account of the ego. The Lord had given this to him during the Under the Green Tree conference at the Bridge Metro West Church in 2010. Okay, Jeff. Speak into the mic.
Good afternoon, folks. In April 2010, I participated in a conference called Under the Green Tree, and this was held at Metro West Bridge Church in Natick, Massachusetts. And while I was praying, I received this vision of an eagle. And this is what I saw in the vision. I saw an eagle standing alongside its nest with three eaglets, having matured in size and strength as they prepared to fly. The eaglets took up its position on the edge of the nest and practiced spreading out its wings. Then on unheard command, the eaglet jumped off the nest. And in a moment of surprise, their wings catch the wind, and they start to soar. This is what they were created for, and their purpose was fulfilled. One by one, they spread their wings, and they soared into the heavens. And the Lord gave me to understand what He was trying to say to us through that. As the eagle sets up an environment to protect its young in the vulnerable stages of development, from an egg to hatchling, hatchling to young adult, preparing to spread out its wings and to soar into the heavens with the Spirit. So the years of preparation are over. Take your place on the edge of the nest and spread your wings, and at my command, jump. Do not fear the open spaces beneath you, for you will not be jumping into the empty air. You will be jumping into the arms of my Spirit. Learn from my Spirit how you are to soar with me and the Father in the heavens. So come up from your time of preparation and soar with me into the heavens, and I will pour forth my grace and mercy as holy and fiery arrows. Wherever these arrows shall fall, strongholds in the land shall fall, and portals shall be restored. And the power of my Spirit shall flow without impediment. And my renown shall grow greater among the nations of the world. My glory will reach its fullness. Will you ride with me upon the wind? This wind will carry the water and the fire. And when these come together as one movement, the power and transformation will reach out into the streets and byways and draw men and women, young and old, teens and young adults, into the Father's path. Remember to soar with me to the heights of glory, and I will make known to you revelations destined to be released from heaven for this generation. For I am reworking the physical realm to enable it once again to receive the glory that brought it forth on the day of creation. The earth is moaning and groaning to receive the revelation of the sons and daughters of our Father, those who await for the return of Jesus, who are on the earth, as well as those who are in the waiting place before the glorious throne. These will be rejoicing over you. Worship is where they have focused their attention until the appointed day, when at the sound of the trumpet, the veil between the heavens and the earth shall be ripped asunder, and evil and darkness shall be removed, and I will walk freely among you again. It's simple. This includes me. This is an extension of that word. And that we need to stop telling God how to deal with our lives and let Him deal with it. and be short and simple about it. And yes, praying and discerning, but don't let praying and discerning become an excuse for procrastination. And the time is short. You know, right now this is being recorded during Hurricane Irene, and you know, I hope all your simple protective measures have been taken. And if you're close to those target zones anywhere on the East Coast, be smart and just move. Just move yourself out of the danger zone.
And pray.
You can afford to do so.
Move and pray, right?
Yeah, move and pray. You know, all these previous small little storms, snowstorms that we've had over the last few years are probably a divine preparation to be ready for this big, nasty thing. It looked nasty when I saw it on the northern coast of Haiti through the weather news. I was like, oh my God, that's ugly. And then just recently today, I saw picture from the International Space Station of the storm, and it's like, it is massive. It has a real tight core, but the storm is, the diameter is really big, so lots of people are going to get destructive, make and end up getting lots of rain and even possible destructive winds if they're not directly hit by the eye of the storm. So that's what we'll be, you know, most people will be dealing with.
Let's take authority. Once you start, let's pray against the storm.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I take dominion and authority over all spiritual powers that birth forth this storm in conflict with your divine power, Lord, and we just ask that the rain bands be nothing more than rain that replenishes our water supply and does not harm our water supply. That the wind will bring in your presence, your glory, that people will know that you are Lord of heaven and earth, that you still are willing to calm the storms for your people, the storms of our interior life, the storms of our external life in the world, and as well as the spiritual storms that wreak havoc on everybody. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you for your glory. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Be still. Be still.
Yes, and I concur with that. We speak to the storm and the wind, and we say, peace, be still, Irene. We command that you do exactly what your name entails. We speak the peace of Jerusalem over you and over your wind in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when we proclaim your name, every knee shall bow on the earth, underneath the earth, and above the earth to the wonderful, glorious, and matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, of Jesus. So we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we tie and bind and any economic disturbance that the storm would try to cause, as it's been spoken of. But we come against that right now, that which has been falsely prophesied. We tie and bind and break that intensity of the storm off the back of this nation. And we ask, for, Lord, that you, by your power, by your mercy and grace, will carry the nation's finances. And you would honor the tithers that have tied to ministries that proclaim the kingdom. And just for the sake of that, Lord, that you would prevent us from getting into an economic catastrophe in the mighty name of Jesus.
Lord, and we ask that you would impart revelation to the medical community about new discoveries that are going to be coming forth in the next few years, Lord. We just ask that your Holy Spirit inspire all the researchers, that they would inspire all the doctors on the creation of safe and effective treatments for cancer, for emphysema, for all diseases of genetic origin, diseases of mental health, and we just ask that you loose your creative spirit on all these people, that they may be inspired and moved by you to find these things because you gave these researchers a passion to look for each thing that they want to examine in life, to try and help people and try and bring problems to solutions, Lord. And we just stand before you and we declare that the freedom of the Holy Spirit will be around all these researchers. It doesn't really matter, because you can use anyone who is willing to look for something, anyone who, for the greater glory of God, brings health and wellness. It all comes from you to begin with. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We got to go into a song by Joan McFadden, calling upon the Holy Spirit for divine intervention. Okay.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, come, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Continue to come in power and in glory. You are welcomed in this place. You are welcomed in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Wasn't Joanne McBatter awesome? Well, you know, she really gets right on in there in the throne room. The Lord uses her gift and of worship in a very powerful and profound way. Okay. Well, my husband gave a wonderful witness about, you know, how the prophetic virtue of the eagle had, how the Lord had, released to him in the Holy Ghost during worship at the Green Tree Conference in 2010, with the significance, the prophetic significance of how he was acting in his people at that time in the season. There was a seasonal prophecy in the season of the eagle, all right? And what I wanted to reiterate was that even though we went over each of the virtues individually as if they were separate from themselves, the nature of the four faces is that they flow in unity at all times. It's not just one overshadowing the other, but as the wheel, as they follow the face of the wheel, because they're it seems, it says that each being, okay, has those four faces, and some are it depending on the direction, that the face is looking at, it marks the particular flow in the Holy Ghost. And it's not always prevalent by itself. They sort of interact and flow in unison. So, and they are always constantly in fluid motion. And it's not always one or the other. They interact. And this, it's like anything in life. It's not just one thing or the other. It's always a constant flow and interaction, and not one thing overshadows the other. They are integrated. I guess that's the way that's the best way to describe it. And there's a cooperation and there's a unity. Okay, and that's just how it is. It's not a rigid legal thing. It's the flow. How the flow of the Spirit comes according to the particular purpose that has to be addressed, or the particular season that has to be addressed. But there may be one predominant characteristic, like the lion, which marks the season. But you still can be an eagle. You can still have an eagle flow in the regarding the revelation. Okay, but the revelation can bring the utterance of the lion. The eagle is constantly in motion. The eyes are constantly getting revelation in the wheel. So, at different points, you also have to be docile to receive this. You have to be in a state of humility. You've got to be like an ox, receive it, receive the revelation in humility, like that portrayed in the ox. So they're always integrating, they're always interacting, and that's how we get to the throne room. Okay, and it says we are constantly being purified in this revival fire that the motion of the wheel generates, okay, in order that we may be set apart to walk into and function more effectively in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, all right? And for those who especially walk that way, by the virtue of the believer's baptism, we are called to be priest, prophet, and king. So some of us, during these, the interaction of these four living creatures within our spirit, in relation to the prophetic virtues and the characteristics of the prophet, what happens is we prophesy in accordance to the motion of the wheel. So not all of us are functioning in the office of the prophet, but maybe as an evangelist, you may have a a prophetic, you may have a prophetic teaching or a inspiration when you're spreading the good and you speak out of that, or you pray out of that, or and you impart out of that over the general body. That's a little slightly different because you're now doing the action verb, the prophesying, but you may be an eagle on fire one day, or you may be uttering a roar, at the top of your voice. Whatever you need to do, whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do.
The time is 1 o'clock p.m.
That's what you do. So it's really awesome, just naming it. I would challenge all you all to name to ask the Holy Spirit, what season you're in, and what's predominantly working within you, and why, and how you can be more cooperative with the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus living on the inside of us and alongside of us too. Okay, so outside of the worship, our function and our calling is somewhat limited because we have not all come into the fullness of our calling due to lack of desire to worship God. Lots of times we can, in the stagnancy, we can remain undeveloped or underdeveloped in the things of the Spirit. And this is the general plague in our society. All right, so we're going to go into what causes this stagnation. What actually happens? What is going on, between the mind of man and the mind of God, and what flow is the world in? We get an understanding, an idea that it has something to do with rebellion, but what happens in that, in relation to the motion of the wheel within the wheel? This is getting deep. This is getting heavy duty stuff. But the Lord's given me an understanding on how to teach this and how to break it down into simple terms. And I was just waiting for that tug in the Spirit to do so. Okay. Because of this unequal flow, when life circumstances causes a disturbance in the flow of heaven, the will within the will, they don't flow like they should. Matter of fact, the Lord showed me a vision how the will of the Holy Spirit will go in one direction and the will of our spirit will go into another direction, like backwards. And there's a discord. There's a disharmony. And a lot of it happens, believe it or not, when you listen to the music of this world, because the music of this world is out of kilter. It's out of wax, and it's out of whack with the Holy Spirit, with the things in heaven, and it generates chaos in this earth, especially the sounds and the songs and the lyrics and the melodies come with it. Sometimes. There are certain, I remember even when I was going through the stations, when I couldn't get Christian music because I didn't get good reception. I drive vehicles that transport people, and sometimes there's radios that are on there and they work, but it's not always the station that I want. And sometimes it doesn't have the CD for me to play what I would like to be played on that system. So, one time, as I was flipping the station, sometimes you come across this unpleasant sound, like that rock, that demonic rock, and you can feel the music taking you down and away from just in this split second when you turn in the station, and you just get a sick feeling. You just feel sick to your stomach, like, what's going on here? Some people even get headaches, but it's this disharmony can even, I can see where it could cause disease if you listen to enough. And also, there's a lot of satanic groups that are producing these sounds out there that are just from hell, and they're trying to curtail what the Holy Spirit is doing through music from heaven, trying to distract the people of God, okay, from listening, you know, trying to pollute this atmosphere. So, you know, so what happens is that these create many individual storms and creates crisis in people's lives. And, you know, just when these wheels are out of sync and it gets you out of sync, I believe it's the reason why we have mental illness and emotional illness. I mean, you know, we really got to go and get this thing right, go to the source of the reason why evil comes in there. And it's by choice that we're making this decision to listen to this kind of music. And then you hear that hypnotic suggestions of, you know, different things underlying the music and subliminal messages. And, you know, I often wonder, is it a plot? I'm not being, without being paranoid, is it a plot, you know? So, you know, just consider that. Think about, in lieu of this teaching that I'm giving you, why it's very important to worship the King and bring in the kingdom of God to him. And you want to get those wheels back in the right direction with the four living creatures, bringing it to heaven and the worship and this new sound. And you want to, and the idea is to bring it down to the earth, you know, bring it forward from you, spring it, have it spring out, more like a springing out, not like bringing down, but a springing forth from your innermost being to the rest of the earth. Wow, that is so awesome. If more people got this teaching and understood exactly who they are, what they contain, and who they contain, you know, you'd be better for it, this world would be better for it. And the kingdom of God can come to earth in power and glory and in rest. Now, why the storms? Why this hurricane? And this is my understanding of how storms are generated, how hurricanes are generated. I really believe that in our individual thinking realm, the Lord asks certain, you know, his people to do certain things. And sometimes, lots of times, we're not as obedient as we would think, like to think that we are. And so that goes against, you know, the move, the flow of heaven. And so that's how, that's another way disobedience brings about a break in the wheel, within the wheel, forward motion, okay? And that's another way disobedience can cause a whole bunch of disorder. Well, in the flow of the will within the will. And then the revelation shuts down. You know, there's greater tendency to sin and a whole lot of things, you know. What happens is, it's funny how the storm, the hurricane goes, you know, in its own direction in a circular motion. And it's, and a hurricane, another name for that is evil spirit. So, and the evil spirit does cause destruction. So people look at that long enough and they start getting fearful and they start flowing with that evil and come into agreement with it. And, that's why we can take authority. Once we know who we are, we can take authority over that. But we have to really repent. We have to come into that place of repentance and deliverance for some people that have a sin habit and maybe generational. And we got to do what it takes to get those wheels spinning in the right direction, in the flow of heaven, you know, in agreement to what God wants to do in heaven through you, okay, within your innermost being, all right. And the same condition on this earth is generating these storms. John Paul Jackson said it. He's been explaining it, probably not in great detail like I have, but this is the reason. This is what's happening. This is what the underlying thing is, and all it takes is sincere repentance and worship him in spirit and in truth, okay, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to, in a couple minutes, we're going to go into a prayer of deliverance to get you back on track, to get the body back on track. And this is something that I had posted on the wall of Faith Top Flight Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group, the Secret Group, and also for the intercessors that are interceding for families, friends, and situations, crisis situations in the New Faith Talk Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group. And I think that the Lord showed me that this is very essential in getting people back on track. And also repentant gatherings that Governor Rick Perry had done called the Response. And there's going to be many more like that. But this is what's going to take to get the nation back on track and to get the body of Christ back on track too. Okay, so I'm down to two paragraphs here, but that was not from my paragraphs. That was from the Holy Spirit, what we talked about just recently. But because of this, many, the wheel not flowing, going forward, the wheels not going in the same direction. Because of this, many have fallen short of the glory of God because they have not made the Lord their first love through the worship of heaven. Due to the demands of his times in our day and age, we encounter the divine. The Lord is turning up the fire of his love right now through the worship of him, and so it's not going to be as easy to be distracted, okay? He wants to reveal how real the kingdom of God is working through you, how real heaven is, and what's really happening in the life of the believer, okay, through the worship of heaven, okay? He's given us the grace to desire it in these days and to minister unto him. The new song and the new dance of the bride. See, when we get this, when the flow is established and we get these songs from heaven, like I had shared with you in the video, and I think I'm going to play the MP3 version, like I promised everyone, of Israel, which the Lord had given me that song 23 years ago, the beginning of that song, and I'll break it down in a couple of minutes as to what each part meant at each time period. And he gave me the desire on, I think it was August 22nd, was it 22nd or 23rd? He gave me the verses, last steps of those songs. I believe it was the 23rd. And I just I typed it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this is something significant about 23. I like to look that up. But anyways, it took 23 years to write this particular song. And I thought the song, the beginning of the song was the actual song, but the Lord, he just kept adding on as our time went on, and things like that. So, anyways. So we really have to be open to the new song and a new sound coming from heaven, because that's going to put, the body of Christ, that's going to propel the body of Christ to move forward as a corporal body. So as the four living creatures from the throne are directing this prophetic movement, they are directing the activity of heaven, okay? And they're moving you away from the activity of the earth, the incongruous activity of the, the backwards motion of the wheel, as you relate to more to the earth. So, as you relate to the things of the kingdom, those wheels are going to be spinning in the same direction, inside and out, generating lots of revelation. They are establishing a flow for signs and wonders, healings and miracles to occur. They are bringing us to a greater place, a place to be able to receive the grace in a greater way, in a special way that we need to be able to walk in the authority and anointing of being prophetic people. All right. These are dark times, folks, and the Lord is preparing his church, his bride, to set the tone prophetically for the young people of this generation who have lost hope. All right. The Lord is raising up a prophetic people who know who they are and what they have from God. He has entrusted within us, within them, within our generation to mentor them, but within them, a special deposit, a special grace. as his worshiping people. The ability to speak greater prophetic revelation from the throne of the things that will shape the spiritual focus of their lives and the lives of people that would spring forth, a generation that would spring forth from them. Okay? And it would, and he wants to release such a prophetic revelation that it will actually help change the perspective of mankind forever. But we need to be obedient to what the Lord is saying prophetically through the prophetic action via the flow of revelation directed by the four living creatures who are our companions, who are always directing the flow of heaven, of worship, and always before the throne with the 24 elders. And Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for this. I thank you for this teaching and for this revelation. And Lord, I ask that right now you would just deposit these nuggets in the heart of your people. And that, Lord, that you would establish such a prophetic flow, Lord, that we would forget who we once were. And that, you know, and that we'd walk in a greater reality of who you say that we are, a prophetic people, in the flow, in agreement with the flow of heaven, the flow of your spirit from heaven. And for those who want to flow in a greater way, but you have some hindrances and blocks, I'm going to be praying a prayer of deliverance right now for you. And if you want to download a copy of this, you can do so by going to the Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group if you want to intercede for the nations, or the new Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group. Because under documents, I have that there. Feel free to go there anytime and pray this until you feel that you are released in this. Okay. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins in my life and in my ancestors' life that resulted in a curse. I repent of all disobedience, rebellion, perversion, witchcraft, idolatry, lust, adultery, fornication, mistreatment of others through what the spoken word or what has been unspoken in the thoughts. Murder, thoughts of murder, cheating, thoughts of cheating, lying, thoughts of lying, sorcery, projected, and also corporate. Divination and occult involvement, and ask for your forgiveness in cleansing through the precious blood of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over and break any and every curse upon my life and the life of my family and the life of my ancestors that have gone before me in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of poverty, lack, debt, destruction, sickness, death, and a vagabond spirit. I break all curses on my marriage, family, children, and relationships. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break curses of rejection, pride, self-hatred, rebellion, lust, hurt, incest, rape, Ahab, Jezebel, fear, insanity, madness, and confusion. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break all curses affecting my finances, mind, sexual character, emotion, will, and relationships. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break every hex, jinx, spell, and curses spoken over my life and the life of my children. In the mighty name of Jesus, I tie and bind and break every fetter, shackle, chain, cord, habit, and cycle that is a result of the curses of my ancestors. According to Galatians 3:13, I have been redeemed. My family has been redeemed, and all those around me's families have been redeemed, especially Israel. The curse of the law by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, at Calvary in Jerusalem. I exercise my faith in the blood of Jesus and lose myself and my descendants, and the descendants of Israel, and all those that I have yet to know, from any and every curse. I claim forgiveness in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the sins of the fathers. All of my sins have been remitted. All of Israel's sins have been remitted. All of my enemies' sins have been remitted. We can pray for our enemies too. And I lose myself from the curse that comes as a result of all disobedience and rebellion to the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I exercise my faith that is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I know that confession is made unto salvation from Romans 10. Therefore, I confess that Abraham's blessings are mine. All right? And they are theirs, too. They are the Jewish people's blessings. And all those Semitic tribes that are part of that inheritance. That I declare, proclaim, and decree that I am not cursed, but I am blessed. I am the head and not the tail. Israel is the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Israel is above and not beneath. I am blessed coming in and going out. Israel is blessed coming in and going out. I am blessed. Israel is blessed. And what God has blessed, no one can be cursed. And what God has blessed, Israel cannot be cursed. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command all you spirits of rejection, all you spirits of hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, bondage, torment, death, destruction, fear, lust, perversion, mind control, witchcraft, poverty, lack, debt, confusion, double-mindedness, sickness, infirmity, pain, divorce, separation, strife, contention, depression, sadness, loneliness, self-pity, self-destruction, self-rejection, self-hatred, anger, rage, wrath, anguish, vagabond, abuse, and addiction to come out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out of the people of God, come out of their, at the roots. Come out of the generations that have gone before them in the mighty name of Jesus and the generations that have yet to be born. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for setting me free, setting my generations free, setting my friends and family free from every curse and every spirit that has been operating in their lives and in my life as a result of a curse. Amen. In Jesus' holy name. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit and renew us. You shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray the face of the United States, in the name of Jesus, the face of Canada, Central America, South America, and all the small countries in between. O God, who did instruct the hearts of thy faithful with the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of the Holy, of the same Spirit we may be truly wise and to forever rejoice in his consolation. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And also the faith of Israel in the Middle Ages. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you are doing right now in your people, what you are doing now in the physical Israel and the spiritual Israel and all the people groups represented on this earth this very day. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, think of spirit to your spirit. Oh, Lord, let the wheels within the wheels flow in the direction of the four living creatures as they direct us to a greater flow of the heavenly nation. Oh, go deep in your people, Lord. Go deep. Go deep within your people. Give a deep call into deep. That deep call into deep, the deeper things of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Release the kingdom, Lord. That your kingdom come and your will be done in your people on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' holy name. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. In your people, we speak rest, we speak peace. We speak peace, Lord, into the chaos. We speak peace into the chaos of your people's lives. We speak peace. We decree and proclaim and declare that the kingdom will come in power and in peace and rest and in glory. And it won't come any other way, not through destruction. Lord, so we pray right now for obedience and peace for your people so that the kingdom may come gently in power and glory like a lamb. We are approaching the end of this broadcast, this interesting, awesome broadcast on the activity of heaven, part two. I just want to give a testimony on the song that the Lord had given me 23 years ago, the beginnings of a song that actually took 23 years to write. It's called O Israel, Welcome to the Holy Place. And some of you who follow me on Facebook and also a part of the prayer groups, Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group, and the new Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group, have seen a posting of this nature on as a document, written as a document on Facebook. And also, I think it's on my, it's in my notes too, on my profile page. I also spoke about it, and I think I even read the song in prose on the previous video I had done about We Stand With Israel, the prophetic alert. And for the, and I had said on there that I promised I would sing it. I would sing it live on the Faith Talks Live Prayer and Blog Talk Radio. And I would sing it live a cappella, with the understanding that there is going to be a guitar accompanying this at some point. I do have a guitarist that is willing to work with me. But if anybody out there hears this and they think, ah, I would love to, and they have to be kind of close, you know, in this area. I would love to see if I can get a, you know, recording from this. Feel free. I would just like to help sing it. You know, I'd be a background singer, so I don't do well really as a solo. I try. All right, but this is for teaching purposes. Okay. Anyways, about the song. During the last 23 years, I received a song from the Lord in three parts. In 1987, when I was on my first and only pilgrimage to the Holy Land during Intifada, which strangely enough happened to fall on the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's why I was originally there, was for the Feast of Tabernacles. It was during this feast that the Lord gave me the introduction to the song, O Israel, which I thought at the time was a full song. At that time, I was encouraged by one of my children's godfather. He's a Messianic Jew, and he was also a dual citizen in the United States and Israel. He had encouraged me to sing it out over the land. I really felt deep in the spirit. That's why the Lord brought me there. So I obeyed, not really totally fully understanding prophetic utterance at this time. It was definitely a step in faith, okay? So I sang this out over Jerusalem from the balcony of King David Hotel. And years later, which is now, as the Lord wrote down the meaning of the seasons of the song, you know, the different parts of the song, he was showing me that, O Israel, the introduction part, was calling the physical and spiritual nation of Israel into the arms of Yeshua, HaMashiach, their true place of inheritance, okay? And I believe something powerful happened as the song was released over the land, and only the Lord knows, really, exactly what it released. Only the Lord knows. But I was thankful at that point, after, especially after he realized this within me, within my being, after he shared with me how he had chosen me specifically to sing over the land of Israel. As I look back in hindsight, if I had known that in fullness when I was there, I would have probably been puffed up. But not knowing the full capacity of, you know, where this is going to go, he allowed me to remain humble, because I went through some trials and tribulations after that, and life-changing as well. But it all pointed towards me walking closer to the Lord more than ever. So I chalked that up as victory won for the Lord. Anyways, this was calling physical Israel and spiritual Israel to, and you know, with the concept of the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, to the arms of Yeshua, the true place of inheritance. And what it was doing too for the Gentiles was sending an utterance into the spirit about the need to pray continuously for the peace of Jerusalem and a revelation of the Father's love for them, okay? That was our task, and that still is our task as spiritual Israel, okay? And because we have to call them back into the tree, all right? The olive tree, the cultivated olive tree. They are, because they are the natural branches of this, and that's our call to do that. therefore revealing Israel's destiny to Israel and the nations around her. In 2005, after an awesome time of worshiping Yeshua in the glory, the Lord further spoke to me in the spirit and gave me the refrain, welcoming Israel to the holy place. As I was coming out of the restroom of Staples office supply store. And I was wondering at that point, I'm like, was I in a bathroom or was I someplace between the heavens and the earth? That's the impact that they had. And I believe that during this time, the Lord sang this song deep within my spirit, melody at all for such a time. It says, calling Israel into a place of comfort and rest in Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay. And again, when I say Israel, I say the spiritual and the physical Israel. Because he has his eye on Israel. He has his eye on you. He has his eye on the physical remnant. And because we are the apple of his eye, Israel, the modern state of Israel is the apple of his eye. Okay. Today, which was the day that I wrote this, August 22nd, 2011, the Lord finally released prophetically the three verses that he wanted to sing into the hearts of his people. God is so awesome. This song is dedicated, a song I'm about ready to sing, is dedicated to God's chosen people, me and you and the Jewish people, whoever is called according to the purposes of Yeshua, and those who consider themselves spiritual Israel, which I included you in that just a few moments ago. We will be making an acoustic guitar MP3 version of this song very shortly. So I want you to enjoy and be blessed in Yeshua's name as I sing the song. And I sing I'm singing the song in the Holy Ghost and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, Israel, the heart of the Lord is calling you. Oh, Israel, the heart of the Lord draws you near into the heart of Yeshua, courageous and strong. Redemption is here, oh little ones, where you belong. Oh, Israel, the heart of the Lord is calling you. Oh, Israel, redemption for your soul is here. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Here I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. When the darkness presses in from every side, and your only prayer is to run and hide, take my holy hand and I will be your guide. And I will sing, and I will sing. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Here I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I am a shield that surrounds you. Let me melt all your fears deep inside of you. As my glory surround you, and I will sing. Yeah, I will sing. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Here I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. I will comfort you. As you lay your head upon my breast, here is where your soul will find its rest. As I kiss your tears away, I will sing. I will sing. Yeah, I will sing. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Welcome to the holy place, my love. Here I will comfort you. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Israel. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I sang that. I stepped out of faith in courageous faith, and I stepped out of faith without a guitar. As you know, I really do need accompaniment, but it really felt it was a prophetic mark for such a time as this, another prophetic milestone with the total composition of the song coming together over the span of 23 years. And so whatever it's doing faith right now, that Lord, you would just put a seal in it, and you would bless us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to end on a song that I really believe captures the whole essence of where the Lord wants us to go, with a song that was sung by Josh Young, and I don't remember what the title is, but we'll when I play it, you'll know. Okay, God bless you, and I love you guys. All right, be safe, okay, and pray. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Take it all. You have have made for me a home. Now make your home in me. Dance upon the memories of the shame that I was. My offering to you. My offering to you. Your love is a lighthouse, and I found my way home. Oceans behind me. Now the joy of loving. Joy of loving you.
Made for me a home. Now make.